Today is Thursday, and in this week's letters, there were several complaints about our obituary item on Sergeant Keith Clark. He was the Army bugler who missed the sixth note of taps at President Kennedy's funeral.
The story, according to Professor Nicholas Flores of Boulder, Colorado, rated a perfect 10 on the insensitive and tasteless journalism scale. To sum up Sergeant Clark's life in these terms is an insult to Sergeant Clark, his family, and his friends.
Mean-spirited and patronizing was the judgment of Susan Reinert of Perrysburg, Ohio. Reducing this man's life to one wrong note was absolutely the wrong note from ATC, whose staff takes the opportunity to edit out their mistakes.
Listener John Ruppy had another bone to pick. He writes, in a piece on union activity at Yale University, you referred to Yale as Connecticut-based. Yale is not Connecticut-based. Yale is not, as the phrase suggests, a corporation with operations elsewhere. It is in Connecticut. Mr. Ruppy writes from Harrisonburg, Virginia, where he says he not only is based, but even lives.
Sean Doughty is in Alpharetta, Georgia, where by his account he cannot sing to save himself. And he writes, people would say, oh, you're tone deaf. I've always thought that people were using the term incorrectly, and now I'm certain of it.
Mr. Doughty's reflection on his musical disability was occasioned by Joe Palka's report on amusia, which Joe called the technical name for people who can't tell one melody from another.
Our unmusical listener writes, I can determine pitch perfectly well, and had no problem whatsoever discriminating the sequence of tones used in your segment. In fact, this ability was essential to my success as a B-52 electronic warfare officer. Radars have particular frequency and pulse characteristics which give them voices, the rapid discrimination of which can mean the difference between life and death. Therefore, to help eliminate the misuse of the term tone deaf, I would like to coin the term tone mute. Please use it freely when you describe those of us who can't sing to save our life, but can listen to save our life.
Mark Moeller listens to us in Cologne, Germany, and objects to our interview yesterday with Brigadier General Michael Leonard, commander of the prison camp at Guantanamo. Mr. Moeller acknowledges there are human rights issues at stake, but he writes, every time these issues are addressed in an appropriate manner by government representatives, the line of questioning digs further as to how we are mistreating the detainees. I suggest NPR focus more of its energy on the human rights abuses by the Taliban on the Afghans over the course of the last 6 years, and worry a little bit less about whether or not the Taliban prisoners have hot and cold running water.
Thank you for your portrait of Walter Backerman, New York seltzer man extraordinaire.
This is from Edward Bomsey of Annandale, Virginia, and he should know.
He writes, my grandfather, Sam Katz, was a seltzer man in New York, and Walter's story just flooded me with memories of my grandpa. Walter, this grandson of a New York seltzer man, salutes you and your wonderful clientele, who still know the difference between a spritz of 2 cents plain and barely bubbly water.